Well, welcome to church. We come together to encourage one another as we wait for Christ's return. And a great way of doing that is to hear God's word. And today we commence a new little sermon series in the little New Testament book of 2 Peter. And we're thinking about what it means to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And today's sermon title is to encourage us to progress in the truth, chapter 1. Our mission focus for March is on the work of the Blairs and also on the Anglican chaplaincy work of hospital chaplains, and in particular the Reverend Emily Carpenter. Both the Blairs and Emily are coming this month to encourage us, and we look forward to encouraging them as well. Today we celebrate also the Lord's Supper together, the Holy Communion, and you should have all received a little cup as you came in. If you've not done so, you can go out shortly and get one and bring it back in during the singing of the songs. As much as we like to sing aloud in church today, we're still agreeing just for those up the front to sing to you today. And in one of the songs, we'll get you to stand and listen in as well. Musos, come people of the risen Christ, King, who delight to bring his praise. Come all attune your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace. Next to you, not around your pews, but just the person near you, just say, the Lord be with you, and also with you. I can go to my wife and say, the Lord be with you. The Lord be with you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God calls us. God calls us to live our lives to his glory. And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. But we fail to honor him and we fail to respond to his love for us. So recognizing our guilt and trusting in God's mercy and grace, let us now confess our sins together to him. Together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have gone our own way, not loving you as we ought, nor loving our neighbour as ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We deserve your condemnation. Father, forgive us. Help us to live for your honour and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Father, as the song we first sang, listening into, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and trust in your Son. Deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness. And keep us. Keep us always in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, you have caused for all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning. Enable us now to read, note, and inwardly digest them, so that encouraged and supported by your word, we may embrace and always hold firmly onto the joyful hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I invite Max to come up now and read to us the Bible reading, and it's from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 21. You can follow along in your Bibles or you can on the screen. Thanks, Max.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So the second reading is Peter 2, 1 to 21. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who, through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through this, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome to the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth of you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. For will they not follow cleverly, devised stories, when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Max. Well, we come to a time where we encourage one another by what we believe, with Christians present and past and future. So would you stand with me and let's say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed together? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated and turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter. Chapter 1. Heavenly Father, we do indeed, as Max and I have already prayed, thank you for your word. Help me now to teach it correctly, and may we experience your guidance by your Holy Spirit into truth. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Seemingly, The first woman to swim the English Channel both ways was a woman by the name of Florence Chadwick. Her next challenge was to swim from Catalina Island to mainland California, a distance of about 30 kilometres. After 15 hours of swimming, Florence was pulled out of the water, exhausted, just 800 metres short of the shore. Oh. Why couldn't she make it to the end? Well, the answer lies in the weather, seemingly. It was a foggy day, and Florence just couldn't see the shore. 2 months later, seemingly on a clear day, she swam all the way. Seeing the finish line makes all the difference for an athlete. It provides focus, it provides purpose and motivation. But when the end seems nowhere in sight, it's very hard to keep on going, to let alone start. The Apostle Peter knew this. In this, his second letter to Christians, the Apostle writes to show us the finish line. In this short letter, Peter writes to Christians like you and like me, Christians who are being buffeted by false teachers, Christians who are struggling to live holy lives in an unholy world, Christians who are being ridiculed about their beliefs, Christians who are exhausted. Peter urges them to press on and to think clearly and confidently about their faith. Peter does that by reminding us of the glorious end goal, the finish line that we are looking forward to, the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. If we keep this goal in mind, Peter's writing to us, it will provide focus, it will provide purpose, and it will provide our motivation for us to start confidently in our Christian lives, keep on going in our Christian lives, and finish well in our relationship with God, to progress, persevere, and prevail. And they're our headings for the three sermons through 2 Peter. The first, progress in truth. When Peter and the apostles, other apostles were with Jesus, they once asked Jesus a question about following him, living for him. Jesus' answer to them was that he was the way, he was the truth, and he was the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Knowing this, Peter wants his readers to have the accurate knowledge about Jesus too. He's seen Jesus, he knows the truth, and he wants his readers to be knowing the truth too. Accurate knowledge of the truth of Jesus and to progress in truth. We read in verse 13, Peter doesn't have long to live when he wrote this letter. Peter's dying desire was that we, his readers, would be firmly established in the truth, to have the correct knowledge of Jesus from Jesus himself. So important to Peter that we get it right about Jesus, that he focuses his last words on it. This is because Peter himself had a clear vision of the finish line. Peter knew that there was more to life than this life, and no more to life than knowing Jesus. We hear this in the way he refers to his earthly body. Did you hear that in verse 13? Can you remember what he referred it to as? A tent. Yeah, as a tent. The very image of a tent conveys the image of something temporary and not permanent. You might pitch a tent for a short time on holidays, but it's not really a long-term dwelling. He knows that as followers of Jesus, life in all its fullness is not found here in the things of earth that are temporal, but in Jesus and knowing him that is eternal. Like Peter, we're to look forward to our heavenly bodies our heavenly dwelling, our heavenly home, beyond the glorious finish line. And it begins with knowing Jesus, knowing the truth, verses 1 to 18. I've heard it said that being a Christian is more like hopping into a train than getting behind the wheel of a car. The train goes in a particular direction, guided by tracks. Its destination and its stops along the way are certain. But if you're driving a car, on the other hand, a car can go anywhere you desire it to go. Your destination is yours to determine. In this first chapter of his letter, Peter talks about where the Christian life is going, where it's going, where it's heading, and what we can expect to happen along the way on this journey. Peter shows the characteristics and behaviour we ought to see in the Christian along the way to those who have received a faith as precious as ours. Verses 1 to 4, the Christian's start. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God, our Saviour Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Peter starts his letter not beating about the bush. He gets straight to the point. He starts by saying how important it is to know Jesus. In knowing Jesus, we have everything for life. Not everything we want, but everything we need. Everything we need to escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Everything we need to live the holy life that God has made possible for us. It's knowing Jesus that we enter into an intimate relationship with God, and his Spirit dwells in us and is transforming us. But once we start knowing Jesus, we don't stop. We keep on going in our Christian life. We work with God's Spirit to be and do what God desires of us. Verses 5 to 9, the Christian life. Peter lists 7 important behaviours of Christian living that the Spirit of God helps us to be. For this very reason, knowing Christ, make every effort to add to your faith now goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-controlled perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. The Christian life is not just about knowing, but about being. Not just about knowing Jesus, but being the Jesus. Jesus' life, living it out by his Spirit within us, working cooperatively with the Spirit of God, by the grace of God, to grow in our knowledge of Christ, knowing him, being known by him, and being made more and more like him. How are you going? How are you going in that? To know that the life we have now started to live is worth persevering, and to persevere to the end, and to keep on going. It's not just about knowing, but keep on keeping on. Then in verses 10 to 11, he says, the Christian finish. He wants us to finish well. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. Make every effort to finish well. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The Christian life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's a marathon. Ask those who have been Christians for many, many years. At the Olympics, as the marathon runner runs into the arena, even the one who's coming last, as they run into the arena, after their long, long run, we see people in the stadiums stand and welcome the runner in and clap and applaud and cheer them as they're coming in, as they cross the finish line. I believe heaven will rise to its feet as we, the Christian, enter, having lived fruitful lives for Jesus to the end. We will see that it has been worthwhile in the end. We have lived life as it ought to have been lived. We will have no regrets. What a motivation. What a desire. It's so easy, isn't it? Well, I find it so easy. I can't speak for you. But it's so easy to get lost and caught up in what the world believes is important. The things that secure us here and not there. God, our God, is concerned about the eternal things in life, about eternity, heaven, and hell. And Peter is too, that we know the important things. And that we don't give up on the truth, on the things that are eternal, and fall short of the shore, blinded by worldly thinking fog. Knowledge of the truth of Jesus, of what God sees as important and how the Christian life is to be lived, ought to motivate us to progress in truth, to live it. But not only does Peter want his readers to know Jesus, he wants us to be confident in what we know of Jesus, to be confident of the truth we progress in, verses 12 through to 21. Firstly, verses 12 to 15, the importance of being right. Let me read them to you. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Sometimes there is no substitute for being right. And I'm not talking about winning the war of words at home over the kitchen table, all right? That's a no-brainer, okay? That's resolved already. The wife and the mother-in-law are always right. But the surgeon has to be certain that the correct blood vessel is clamped before cutting with a scalpel. The engineer must be certain that they've done the correct calculations for the bridge to carry the traffic load. The accountant has to be certain that the books are accurate in order to have the money to pay the expenses. And the skydiver has to be certain that his parachute is folded correctly and will open smoothly. There are some things in life we have to be sure about, because the consequences of getting it wrong are so serious. Christianity is like that. Strangely enough, the question, who is Jesus, is one many people never bother with. But it's the most important question everyone is to ask. And it's the one we need to be certain of, that we've got it right. Peter has already told us that knowing Jesus gives us everything we need for life and godliness. It's what equips us to begin life in relationship with God and to negotiate life wisely, to press on and progress in the truth with the help of the Spirit of God changing us and leading us to be more like Jesus. Such knowledge is no small thing, and so it is critical that we know of Jesus, of the truth, and that we can be confident in this truth. A wrong knowledge could stall our progress, stop it altogether, and possibly derail. In verses 12 to 21, Peter now goes on to explain how we can have confidence that our knowledge of Jesus is correct, is actually the truth. Verses 16 to 18, the testimony of eyewitnesses. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. I saw it with my own eyes. There is nothing quite like an eyewitness testimony to grab the headlines of the newspaper or to bring you in close to the event itself. Peter is saying in these verses, you know that there were people who have seen Jesus, who have heard Jesus, who were with Jesus, and I am one of them. Peter saw and heard Jesus, God's Son in the flesh. He saw and heard the truth. So important was that Peter was compelled then to spend the rest of his life as one sent to do so, to tell people about Jesus. We ought to feel the force of this argument. Jesus is not some nice character in a nice little fairy tale story. He's not something like Mother Goose or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or some sort of fairy tale that people have made up. Jesus is an historical figure. He really lived, and there were people who were eyewitnesses to him, who saw him and heard him and wrote about him. This reality is a solid foundation for trusting Peter and for trusting Jesus, trusting the truth. But even before Peter and the other apostles, there were others who made the truth of Jesus known already. Verses 19 to 21. The proof of the prophets. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things, for prophecy never had its origin in human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Spirit. We can be certain of our knowledge of Jesus, of the truth, not only because it comes from eyewitnesses, but also because of the testimony of the Old Testament prophets. They spoke from God. Prophet after prophet looked forward to the day when God would visit, when God would dawn on us and come to this earth. These prophets were spread over hundreds of years of history, and for some of them, they weren't even aware of each other, but they wrote the same things, speaking of Jesus. It's no coincidence that these diverse prophets all predicted the same thing, that Jesus would come and perfectly fulfill all the things they had been writing about. It's no coincidence that it happened that way, because the Old Testament is God himself telling us about Jesus. And this should give us great confidence in our knowledge of Jesus. It's knowledge that comes from God himself, not from people who cooked up clever make-believe stories. The Bible is not like that at all. Peter is writing to Christians. He's writing to you and he's writing to me. He's reminding us that we can be certain of what is really important. And if it's important to us, it will be seen in the way in which we live. What is important is knowing the truth, knowing Jesus. and that we can be confident of what we know about Jesus because it came from eyewitnesses and from God himself speaking through his prophets. We live in a world today where most people don't believe in capital T truth anymore. We live in an age in which we're told nothing is absolute. Truth is whatever you would like it to be today. Sadly, Peter will go on to say, we will find that even amongst ourselves in the church. In 2 Peter, God lifts the fog of this sort of hazy, dangerous thinking to show that the Christian faith is founded on clear facts, not fairy tales. The Christian can be certain of the truth of Jesus. The Christian can be confident of the truth of Jesus. And the Christian can be certain and confident of the life we live as Christians in relationship with Jesus. We have no need to give up short of the shore, but to progress in the truth, to start, live, and finish the Christian life. We have all that we need in knowing Jesus. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, Peter says. It's our key verse and our key song, theme song, that we're going to be hearing and singing and hearing sung to us over these coming weeks. So let's listen into that song being sung to us now. Prayer is a wonderful way in which we can speak to God and grow in our relationship with him. So Rosemary's going to lead us in that time of prayer now.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him. The Lord be with you.
And also with you, Rosemary.
Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let's continue in prayer. Almighty God, you alone can order the unruly wills and passions of sinful people. Grant to your people that they may love what you command and desire what you promise, that so among the many and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be lived where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Sovereign Lord, you are the hope and healer of your people and promised a world where there is no more sickness or crying or death. By your death and resurrection, you have set your people free from the penalty of sin and death. We pray your kingdom come. We pray your will be done on earth as in heaven. And we thank you for the provision of a vaccine for the coronavirus. Please give to the governing authorities wisdom in their management as they seek to deliver the vaccine to all people. We pray that you will give patience and understanding to everyone, that you will ease our fears and uncertainties about the vaccines. Please continue to strengthen all healthcare and frontline workers and protect them from this disease. Give to all people peace beyond understanding, generous and wise hearts, and a renewed trust in your sovereign goodness and glory. Turn the hearts of many experiencing fear and anxiety still around the world, that they may find peace, which only you can give, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray as a congregation that we will care for one another and continue to prioritise the need to encourage one another. We pray for those we know who are unwell, who are distressed, anxious, or wearied by the stresses of this life. We thank you for the resources we have to stay connected to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray that we may use them wisely. We continue to pray for our young families. Give them a firm understanding of your goodness and sovereignty. Help them to put you first in their families and give to them patience and understanding as they bring up their children in the knowledge of you. Help us all to care for them, encourage them, and pray for them. And we ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. A prayer for Myanmar. Send your spirit, O Lord, to the people of Myanmar, that no matter what their ethnic background, their religion, their job, or their status, calm heads may prevail during this time of tension and peace, and that peace may return. Grant wisdom and insight to the leaders that they may see the common bond that makes us your children and sisters and brothers to one another. We pray especially for Archbishop Stephen and the bishops and priests of the Church of the Province of Myanmar as they guide the people you have given them. May your church be a blessing to the people of Myanmar. All this we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. A prayer for Cameron and Lara Blair as they work with refugees and new migrants, helping them to integrate into Australian society and also building relationships with those who might return to their country of origin as they take with them the knowledge of the gospel. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Blairs and for the progress made once a month with their small church, which meets in a local park. We thank you that they can invite refugee youth and their families for lunch and that they can listen to a Bible story. We thank you for the encouragement it has been for them to see families join them for these meetings and also other special events as they seek to build relationships with whole families and not just youth. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will continue to provide what they need and raise up more financial supporters to help them continue ministering among uni students and refugee youth. And we pray for Reverend Emily Carpenter and her work as chaplain at Concord Hospital. We pray, Heavenly Father, that Emily may reflect your love when she engages with others. Help her to demonstrate Jesus' compassion in hard times and in the places where it is needed, and to apply your love where there is intolerance. We pray that you will give to Emily wisdom to discern the unspoken words of the pain people are experiencing. And we thank you, Lord, that she has had opportunity to serve you at Concord Hospital. For you only can heal and restore despite our human frailty. And we ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing power and work in our lives. Thank you for your goodness and for all your blessings over us. Thank you that you are able to bring hope through even the toughest of times, strengthening us for your purposes. Thank you for your great love and care. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you that we are special to you and that you are always with us and will never leave us. We thank you for your incredible sacrifice so that we might have freedom and life. Forgive us when we do not thank you enough for who you are, for all that you do, for all that you've given us. Help us to set our eyes and our hearts on you afresh. Renew our spirits. Fill us with your peace and joy. For we love you and we need you this day and every day. We give you praise and thanks, for you alone are worthy. Amen.
Amen. Our Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus said, come to me. Come to me, all who are weary, all who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Friends, at the heart of the Christian life is active trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving death for sin. In this symbolic meal which we are about to partake, originating from Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, we express and deepen our trust in Jesus as we eat and drink with our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord's Supper is an outward and visible sign of the grace shown to us in Christ. As we share bread and wine together, we're actually invited to feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. We are faced again, as we do, with God's love for the unworthy, and we are strengthened by faith in the one whose body was given and whose blood was shed for us. So come then with heartful repentance and genuine trust in the Lord Jesus, realizing the profound significance of sharing in this way, and say together, we do not presume to come to your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your boundless goodness and mercy. We are not even worthy to eat the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord who's always rich in mercy. Enable us by faith to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may be cleansed from sin and forever dwell in him and he in us. Amen. We are the body of Christ. His Spirit is with us. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. He is worthy of all praise. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Therefore, with all those gathered around your throne in heaven, we lift our voices to praise you, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We praise you especially for your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who by his death on the cross and rising to new life offered the one true sacrifice for sin and obtained an eternal deliverance for his people. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever.
We thank you, Father, that on the night before he died, Jesus took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the meal, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine, and pray that we who eat and drink them, believing our Saviour's word, may be partakers of his body and blood. To Jesus Christ, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Come, let us eat and drink in remembrance that Christ died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, preserve your body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, preserve your body and soul to everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord and Heavenly Father, in your loving kindness, accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Grant that by the merits and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and your whole church may receive forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. With gratitude for all your mercies, we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Well, you would have received during the week, on Friday, in fact, from Janice, the bulletin, the notices, and in them there's a lot of things coming up in March. So I simply draw your attention to the things that are happening in March. But particularly, please, the parenting course begins this Tuesday evening. Be praying for that, for Karen and the mothers and fathers and grandparents that may be coming along to that during the week and the coming weeks that are ahead. If you want to know more about that, please see Karen immediately after church today. There's a Bible studies that meet amongst us. There's a good number of us, Bible studies. I've started the one on Sunday night and Thursday evenings for anyone who wants to come along and join in and look more deeply into those scriptures that we've looked at on the Sunday morning. The Bible study has been forwarded to you via an email or delivered to you. You can look into those and come along on those nights there. Also, Janice has sent out the annual reports for the annual vestry meeting, which is going to be held after church next Sunday. Please read those in advance. They're all there. Minister's report, Karen's got a report, Safe Ministry report. Steve's put a financial report in and Diane's put a warden's report in. They're all there. If you're wanting a printed copy out, let Janice know and she'll do that for you. Please have those read because that'll save time. Then on Sunday when we come, we'll assume that they are read and that you've seen those already. Are there any other announcements that need to be? See if you can find, no, but not give you that temptation. If you come back after we've had the evacuation today, see if you can find where the defibrillator is, all right, in the foyer. Don't practice using it, all right? All right? But there's one now in the foyer. And from next Sunday, you'll be able to stay behind and just listen to the video, or it will be sent to you by an email and with a link to seeing it on YouTube, how to use that defibrillator. All right, well, we're going to sing our final song together, and I invite you to stand as we sing this to you.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus.
Are we really-
till my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall
forward to that day when we can sing together. But Lord, we look forward greater to that day when we sing with all God's people gathered around your throne, Jesus. Until then, give us patience. Go with us now, we pray. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.